Welcome to episode 356 of the Countdown Podcast, where two grown men talk about how tight their sphincters are for upcoming films. My sphincter is Wayne.
I refuse to play along with this ridiculous...
Clench.
My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. And as Wayne has already told you, this week we're counting down the most anticipated, our most anticipated films of 2022.
I'm really looking forward to this year.
To make some late changes.
Yes, because certain movies... You can just say it.
Because COVID, fuck you.
Yes, that's COVID why. Pushed back the release date of Mission Impossible 7 to like 2023. So,
yeah, that was not even like early 2023. We're talking like mid 2000.
No, they're hedging the bets. You don't go moving a date like that and the money it costs without going, you know what? Let's just wait until another whole year happens.
So that's with a big shout out to the first person in the Facebook listener community. Links in the show notes. You want to get involved with listeners to the show and having discussions about such things, including the topics of the week. Darren Clark pointed out that it had just been moved. This was literally overnight.
Oh, really? So, yeah, because it was in my list until Paul pointed it out to me from that post.
2023, like mid 2023. It's redonk.
Damn. Yeah, they're really worried about it. And fair enough. It's a shitty, weird time. Okay, so that's not an
list. Okay, Morbius is still in play. It's moved from end of January to April 1st.
Yeah. Great. What is that? Is that a DC vampire?
Sony?
Is that
Sony vampire.
Okay.
Slash superhero, slash Marvel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, sure.
Not on either of our lists.
No.
But if it's on yours, that's great. So, yes, the most anticipated films of 2022. What we are most excited about, the episode where we go on record saying, geez, I reckon this will be good. And we're usually wrong.
Absolutely wrong. Good God.
It's been a big couple of weeks for the show. I want to thank everyone who's jumped on board, as well as, of course, you wonderful, wonderful returning listeners. So if you're new to the show, welcome.
Hello.
It's great to have you here. This will be a fairly typical episode, except for the fact there's no recount.
No.
Usually recount. Segment kicks off the show normally where we get some feedback from you about the topics at hand from the last couple, except we haven't been doing a vote lately. Now, I want to address this. It's coming back this week. We're going to vote from this week. Who has the better list? I know some of you have missed it. I know some of you have wanted it. So the recap will be back next week. Who has the better list as far as you're concerned with your particular taste?
That's right.
Of the best.
So you can go ahead and vote on this list today that we do. Okay.
That's only in the Facebook list community. You do need to join up there if you want to get your voice heard in that regard.
Link to the show notes.
All right. That's it then. So on the other side of this music cue, we get straight into it then. The most anticipated films of 2022. Most anticipated of 2022.
Yeah, that's like really long.
Thank you. Is the subject of this week's countdown. It's pretty straightforward. It has to come out in the year 2022 as of time of recording through to December 31st. Anything else you want to add, Wayne?
Nope. I think this is just fun. Keep going. I'm going to riff on this.
Tell us then your 10th most anticipated film for this year is...
Well, now that we had to shop out fucking Mission Impossible 7.
That's right, everything's moved.
What comes in is this very interesting thing that I don't know a lot about, but here's what does intrigue me. Everyone, Brad Pitt is going to be an action star again. And he's going to be in a movie called Bullet Train, okay? Now, if...
No!
Oh, really? You've heard about this film? Because I was reading... I was trying to find as much shit on it as I can. Well, this is the story, okay? Apparently, it's supposed to be a cross between John Wick and Snowpiercer because it's an adaptation of this novel, and Brad Pitt plays...
Novel or graphic novel?
Well, satirical novel from last year by Kotaro Isaka. It sounds like a graphic novel. So, Brad Pitt plays...
Because it's Japanese.
Exactly. Absolutely. Hey, I know Asians, Paul. I am one.
We apologize to the Japanese
Asian,
community.
I'm Asian. It's fine, everyone.
We have zero listeners in Japan, so it's probably fine.
It's fine. Okay, everyone, Brad Pitt plays an assassin on
Vlad the Impaler.
Yes. He plays an assassin on this speeding ass train with four other motherfuckers who are also assassins, and they're all after the same mark, which is presumably on the train, and apparently only one will make it to the end credits alive. So, I guess we can all guess who that will be, but the journey on this one should be a lot more fun.
Can we hear some of this cast?
Please, tell me about the cast.
So, we've got Aaron Taylor-Johnson.
Ooh.
Zazie Beetz, Michael Shannon,
oh.
Sandy B.
Sandy B, my girl Sandy B always brings it. Sandy, yeah. Sandra Bullock. Wow. Really?
Brian Tyree Henry as well. This has got quite the cast.
Do we think Sandy's an assassin?
Or don't
do
know.
Because we don't know shit about this.
She's got
we?
A name, but it's a two-word name. Oh, no, Maria Beetle. So I think she might be. If Brad Pitt's Ladybug, Joey King is Prince, Aaron Taylor-Johnson is Tangerine, and Zazie Beetz is Hornet, you have to assume
that they're all hitmen.
They're all the hit people.
Oh, so Sandy B going to go up. You know, the thing that will make this cool, bad, or whatever is how it's shot. If this becomes a gritty sort of like what, you know, that kind of thing, fine. Or is it a comedy? Is it like motherfucker? It's not a comedy.
It's also directed by David Leitch.
Now, what's he done, Paul?
Co-director of John Wick.
Oh, it's going to be
Deadpool 2, Atomic Blonde.
Oh, it's going to be that kind of film.
And then, sadly, Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw, but like, we can forgive him for that one.
Look, everyone's got to pay the mortgage, you know? So I say that's fine. If it's going to be anything like John Wick or Atomic Blonde, oh, this will be great.
I am very excited. The concept alone, right? So bunch of assassins in a very limited space.
Exactly.
And how they are all trying to hit their mark.
Yep.
Good fun times.
Maybe the
right?
mark's at the front of the train, you know what I'm saying? And they can only get onto the back of the train, so they can always battle through fucking carriages and
maybe
shit.
Maybe the mark is an international assassin or whatever.
Maybe the mark is a motherfucker as hell.
Yeah.
Who would the mark? This could be, yeah,
it might be Michael Shannon. Who knows?
Michael Shannon's going to be a hitman. Oh, but who knows?
No,
who knows,
no. Right? Well, not according to the names of the cast.
Word. Okay. All right.
That's totally in for this one. I think you've got it criminally low, given it wasn't going to make your list until MI7 got
shot. Well, I didn't know shit about it. I ain't seen no damn trailer.
Well, there's a whole bunch of most of my things you haven't seen. In fact, I've only seen a trailer for two of my films. No, three.
Everyone's going to be really amazed at how fucking teeny bopper and predictable my list is, but I'm fine with that.
I know what your number one will be, I think.
Of course.
You would probably guess my number one if you paid attention, but otherwise, it's all up for grabs.
Yeah.
My number 10?
Please.
Nope.
Oh, that movie called Nope?
Yep.
Is that,
it is the newest Jordan Peele film.
Jordan Peele film.
No one knows anything about it. Literally on Letterboxd, there is no description.
What is it? What do you think? What is it? It's a horror? Is it a horror?
It is apparently being marketed as his next horror film.
Okay.
So after, of course, Get Out and Us, which I know you don't care for Us, but yes. Whereas I liked it.
Yep.
I've liked both those two films. So I'm very interested to see where Jordan Peele goes from here, where both of his films have been massive successes. What can he do with his third outing? All it is a poster of very cloudy, dark clouds, like ominous clouds, with this one that looks very distinct lower to the ground. Almost maybe like an alien spacecraft hiding in this. Who knows? That's the best.
Oh, aliens, maybe. I don't know. We don't know.
That is completely my own supposition. We know nothing about it.
Do we know who's in it?
Yeah, Daniel Kaluuya.
Of course.
Stephen Ewan. Kiki Palmer. There, and Michael Wincott. A long time.
Oh my god, we haven't heard from him in a while.
Haven't. The only names I sort of really recognize there. So that's all it's known about. That's why it's my number 10. It snuck on here. Don't know whether it's going to be great or not, but I'm hopeful.
All right, Paul, tell me what you think it's about. Go ahead.
Pitch it.
What do you think it's about? Aliens come down, and Michael Wincott, having just left the Alien Resurrection cast, right, says that there's some injustice being done with the aliens because on their planet, I don't know. You're right, it's hard to pitch, isn't it?
I don't know it's aliens, I don't know it's supernatural entities. All I know is that Jordan Peele earns the right to be excited by a film that releases on or around my birthday. So
interesting.
Nope is my number 2.
Nope, it's actually called Nope.
Yeah, not so, no.
No, like you know nothing about it, maybe. Maybe that's the campaign. Nope. You know anything about Nope?
Do you remember how good Cloverfield was when it just sort of
dropped
cinema with this weird kind of found footage trailer and then we didn't get to see anything about it. And it opened 2 weeks later. Yeah. I know that kind of guerrilla marketing doesn't work
every time.
Geez, it worked for that film series.
No, it worked like a motherfucker. And you know what? We were a very specific audience for that, though. Us.
In this day and age, though, normally for a big, big release, and probably Nope's not a big release, but for something like, you know, The Force Awakens or a Marvel film like Doctor Strange, hold off on that one.
Yep.
It comes out 4 or 5 months before. This is now 6 months away. I would expect if it's a traditional kind of straightforward horror film, we'll see a trailer, a teaser trailer, inside the next 6 or so weeks.
Okay.
If we don't, then they're doing something special.
Yeah.
With it,
you know? They're pulling some shit.
Mm.
Ah, very interesting. Okay. My number 9 is a film called The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. That's right. Now, look.
Fair enough.
All right. So, everyone, it's Nicolas Cage playing Nicolas Cage in a fictionalized film about Nicolas Cage. It is essentially, I guess, JCVD with Nicolas Cage in it. Because in this film, it seems that Nicolas Cage is playing himself and he's beset by financial woes.
If that film involves or has a scene in which JCVD, or in this case, Nicolas Cage, talks to camera, steps onto a crane, which elevates him above all the action while he's monologuing, and then it comes back down and he steps back off and acts again like he's a character in this movie, I will fucking hate that movie.
Did that happen in JCVD?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember it. Oh my God. Because it's funny, JCVD actually references Nicolas Cage disparagingly. And Nicolas Cage loves JCVD. So
Look, if we weren't so antagonistic towards Steven Seagal,
yeah,
right, on this show,
yeah,
and we're coming towards our episodes where we're really going to fire that shit up.
It's going to be nasty.
My second least favorite
is Jean-Claude Van Damme.
It's Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, come
Fuck
on.
That guy.
All right, listen, he was an asshole when he was young. We all know about these stories and so on, right?
Stephen Quartermain.
Stephen Quartermain, okay, yeah, absolutely. So no question he was doing that. But for him to be the first one to come up with a JCVD-style thing where it's like, I'm poking fun at myself, right?
Don't give a fuck.
Oh, come on.
Don't give a fuck.
He's not Steven Seagal,
No, he's not. I'm saying we have public enemy, so countdown enemy number one, Steven Seagal. I'm proposing for you right now, countdown enemy runner-up, JCVD.
No, I've
got who do you hate more?
Oh, I definitely hate Steven more.
No, but after Steven.
I can think of someone
come
before
on.
JCVD.
In terms of action stars.
Assholery?
Yeah, assholery and how much they love themselves. And
Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman's just a cranky old man who writes Western novels.
Yeah, okay.
He's disappeared off the limelight. He's taken himself away.
Look, you could put Joss Whedon in here before, you know, any of those things. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know, it's an accent. Who knows? All right, look,
that's a whole... Jeez, we could pick apart that interview. Jesus.
Oh my God, Joss Whedon's interview.
Oh, yeah.
Are you fucking nuts with that shit?
Oh, he said
everything wrong, man. He said the opposite of everything he should have said.
Yeah. Let's go to that. Maybe that could be a patron.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do a patron thing. Yeah. Okay. Back to this film. Nicolas Cage, is beset by financial woes. Someone says, hey, you got to go to this rich guy's party. And he's like, I don't really do that. And he said, dude, it's $1 million. And you owe $600,000 on this house.
On your fucking alimony slash tax
bill. Yeah, fully, right? And so he goes, okay. So he goes and he meets. And the rich guy is fucking Pedro Pascal. Right? Yep. And this is, and it's, Nick Cage. And he does that, you know, it's really, really kind of funny looking. And it looks like a flat out comedy, though. It's not like JCVD, which is sort of a drama biopic, right? This is
not
more
a
like
biopic.
Well,
it's this fictionalized account of when he goes into a bank and it gets robbed.
Yeah, you're right. He just played himself with a biopic.
Eat my ass! Eat all the S's, man.
Only bio then. How's that? I don't know.
That's what JCVD does every week. He just walks into a bank and gets robbed. Police are beginning to question his link to them all.
You're right. It's pure realism. Right. So anyway, but looking at the trailer for this film, I initially wasn't the idea of it was like, I don't know what this is. But now looking at it, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I want to see this. Because I haven't liked Nick Cage in a while. I haven't seen something that I'm like, that's the shit in a while. If he makes me laugh, he'll win me over again. There you go.
Did you watch Pig in the End?
Nope. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Is it shit?
We discussed this in the best of the year.
Okay, that's right.
It's not shit. It's just not my bag. I wonder whether it'd be yours.
Mm.
Yeah, you should probably give it a bash.
Okay.
All right. Well, on that note, JCVD is the biopic.
Biopic, everyone. Autobiopic. You're fine.
I believe that from Steven Seagal. I foil bank robberies.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Every week of
the
year.
But then it's automatically a fiction.
I am sheriff. Whatever he is, fucking deputy.
Dickface. I was a cop.
What was it? Yeah, I was a cop.
It's Steven Seagal, Lawman is the TV Lawman. Show.
We're going to have to fire that shit. That would be the greatest.
Oh, dude, have you seen it? It's ridiculous.
No, that would be the greatest review podcast in the history of the world.
Oh. Yeah, let's do it.
keep it here. Right.
Keep it here, people.
My number nine. I make no apologies to this. I'm sorry. I am intrigued.
That's fine. You should see what's coming up on my list.
I'm intrigued by what James Cameron can do.
Oh my God, I almost did this. I thought this would never be on your list.
Yeah. Was it 10, 12 years after, 11, whatever it is?
More.
Avatar? Yeah, so Avatar 2, Avatar was from 2009. Yeah, you're right. 13 years in the making, this film.
My God, this is an honorable mention for me. Go on.
And here's why I'm prepared to give it a shot.
Right.
This guy has consistently revolutionized Hollywood in the 20 years between...
He's always at the cutting edge.
Probably go all the way back to Aliens. Aliens through Terminator 2. Even The Abyss was ahead of its time in terms of special effects and the like. Titanic, it's not my favorite film, but...
He made the romantic blockbuster.
I don't give a shit about the romantic side, action. But in terms of the sinking of the ship, how technically accomplished is it? How good did it look? Even now, 25 years
later. Oh, no, it holds up. It holds up.
All the way through until Avatar, which set the tone, unfortunately, for the
3D.
Subsequent.
But I love, that's
three,
the best
3D 4, 5
years.
Yeah, at the cinema, I would agree.
Yeah.
How immersive, how incredible it was. Yes, the story is fucking pants.
The story's fine.
I don't expect this story to be any better. Mm. But what I'm looking for is to be wowed by the visuals.
What's he got cooking?
I don't exactly. Do you think that
for how long?
This guy who hasn't made another film since Avatar, like he's did
a so?
Documentary about fucking Titanic and blah blah blah. But I don't think
he's released... did he do the fucking diving mill? Or he produced the diving film?
Yeah, but that's you mean that bullshit fucking piece of shit?
Yeah, with fucking
Sanctum. Is that what you're talking about?
I think so.
No, he has not directed a film since Avatar. He's put all his eggs in his basket and he's got more money than God, so he can do whatever the fuck he wants. But I'm intrigued. Like, a guy who could do whatever he wanted, is wanting to commit to this universe with not just 2, 3, but 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah. And I assume Sam Worthington is back in. Do we know anything about this film?
Sam Worthington, Kate Winslet, Zoe Saldana, Sigourney Weaver is somehow again.
What?
Stephen Lang somehow again. Cliff Curtis.
Really?
Giovanni Ribisi. I can't even remember whether they... everyone's back apparently. Joel David Moore. Yeah.
Good, because Sam Worthington had a bit of time on his hands, I reckon.
Wow.
Like, this is the thing.
Look, I'm not excited about the cast. I'm excited about James Cameron.
Yeah, what's he going to do? You know what's going to happen with this? It's going to go one of two ways. It makes $1 billion or it's the biggest bomb of 2022.
And that's what's fascinating about it. That's why I'm so anticipated. Like, I will be there, but COVID allowing.
He's smart enough to have had something in his pocket
I'm saying,
to wait this
his
long.
Track record, there's no denying it. You can hate James Cameron film. You cannot deny the fact he is consistently, on average, I believe, since whatever year, the highest returning director. I mean, once you take it, maybe the Russos, although I'm sure 21 Bridges and shit like that has evened that out.
Yep.
And Cherry and whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently, the biggest box office returner among directors. He is visionary. He's ahead of his time. Mm-hmm. He deserves our interest.
Yeah, that's good. That's actually an honorable mention of mine. So, but I'm very surprised it's on your list because I know you hate the whole thing.
I got to say, this is... Till we get to the top five, I'm like, eh.
Really?
Yeah, but like, normally I'm more excited about
exactly.
more films.
I know. And that's going to be exactly the case with my number 8, which is a film called The Lost City, everyone.
Oh, wait. Not the Sandy B.
Yeah, Sandy B.
Have you seen this
I've
trailer?
I've seen the trailer. I have
it
no problem with it.
It's fucking balls.
People. If this movie has Sandy B.
Oh, my God. Right,
Channing Tatum. And motherfucking Harry Potter.
Couldn't believe how bad this trailer looked.
In the trailer, it's like she's in a like Indiana Jones looking thing, like caught in some cave, like some pyramid in the middle with Channing Tatum, and there's snakes everywhere. And she says, "So wait, all these snakes were down here just to wait for us to sit here and like be among the fire." It's just delete, and the fucking beep beep, beep the whole fucking like aspects of the shot delete.
That's just the early part.
So she's writing. So what happens is the whole film is. She's a writer who does some shit, and she says she always writes about lost cities and fucking your mother's.
So match. While you're doing this, I'm just going to bed behind you, right? My rendition of the song that matters most.
Okay. Then Daniel Radcliffe comes up, and actually he's some sort of billionaire, and he walks in and says, "Hey, I believe that all of your stories are fucking actually referring to an actual lost city, and I'm going to motherfucking... You're the woman who can help me find a real lost city, which I happen to think about." And then somehow Channing Tatum, Scrotum Tatum, he's like motherfucking like the best, like he's a Fabio motherfucker. He's like a model or some shit, right? He ain't got shit to do with anything, but somehow he keeps getting involved. So that's why it looks funny as fuck. And I do believe, I wonder if that's actually Netflix or not. No, I'm not sure. But yes, I don't know. Now. Oh, wait, are you doing When the Going Gets Tough? Oh, okay.
Because this is fucking Jewel of the Nile.
Yeah, that's fine. I can use another Jewel of the Nile. I'm fine with this shit, yo. You know we're doing this show, right? You know we're doing it, right? Oh, we're doing it. Word. Okay. Sweet.
Oh, this looks so shit.
This is going to be great. I'm going to try and angle an actual listen of viewing.
I'll
with
agree.
Paul.
The first 30 seconds of that trial, I'm like, okay, cool. And I'm like, oh, no.
I think it'll be fine. You know what? It may very well be jizz, but I'm fine to actually go and experience the jizz. So here we go.
Quote Wayne on a Saturday night. Oh, God. All right. My number 8 is Martin Scorsese's new film.
With Leo?
Yes.
And Bobby?
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And Jesse Plemons and Brendan Fraser and John Lithgow.
Brendan Fraser?
Yeah.
I didn't know he was in it.
It's called Killers of the Flower Moon. Depicts the serial murder of members of the all-wealthy Osage Nation in 1920s Oklahoma. A string of brutal crimes came to be known as the Reign of Terror.
Mm.
This film was going to cost so much money that even Netflix walked away from it, I think. And Apple may have... Someone stepped in. I'm sorry. I should have done my research on
That's
this.
That's all right.
To foot the bill for it, or you walked Paramount, Netflix, one of the two, but I thought giving you The Irishman through Netflix, that they would have been the first point of call.
Yeah. No, how, what, is it the cast that's making it expensive? What's he doing with it?
Because it's Martin Scorsese, man.
Yeah, I know. He's like, I'll do whatever I say, man. But like,
yeah, well, Scorsese, that cast, the subject matter where it's clearly kind of this period piece brutality. It's kind of, it's everything about Scorsese.
Yeah.
The only way it could be any better if it was a Scorsese proper gangster film. Irishman was gangster adjacent, I would argue. I know you didn't love The Irishman.
I hope it's not
3 hours long or 3 hours 20 long.
Look, this is the problem. This is not an honorable mention for me. It is the only reason it's there. It's because I know Martin's going to do an 18-hour movie. And I'm like, you know, Martin.
Yeah. I hope it's 2 hours 20 or 2 hours 10. I hope it's just tight and amazing. And I'm so up for...
Look, I'll go see it.
Marty doesn't have any more films left in him. We need to enjoy it while we can.
Yeah, you're right. I'm totally going to go see it. But, you know, temper one's expectations.
Yep, fair enough.
And now, for my number 7, it's going to be Uncharted.
Oh, no!
What don't you like about this, motherfucker? We got Marky Mark, we got Spider-Man, all right? And it's like I didn't play the PS4 film. Are you really, really shitty about this?
This trailer
looks like fucking great!
They grapple fucking cables to ships that were built however many hundred years ago, and they don't fall apart.
Who cares? It's fucking fun and action, man. I showed this trailer to someone not this morning, and they were like, "Yo, that looks like the bomb." Why? Because it's fun.
I haven't even added it to. I know we'll do it when it comes out.
You're damn right we are.
But I haven't even added it to my watch to the Letterboxd because I was so like, this trailer is ass.
It looks great, Tommy. My only issue, I don't play the game. I don't have a PS4.
I played the games.
Yes, so I think that Nathan Drake is a little young cast with Tom.
Yes, 100%.
But they are playing on that at least, giving him pretty jokes. And then Marky Mark being Sully, who I assume is an older character, is also a tad young, I would think. However, the action in it looks fucking great. I think this is a great second vehicle for Spider-Man.
How would you like to
this
suck
is
my butt?
Great, man.
Wow.
I mean, I can't believe you don't like it so much. Wow. Are you actually not interested in the film?
It looks so bad.
What? It looks great.
I'm going to hate watch this movie.
Dude, the motherfucking the in the air shit flying, falling through the air. That shit's exciting, man. You know falling through the air is exciting, right? Especially when you're on the back of a cargo plane and in a damn, like, car runs you over in the middle of the... That shit's cool, man. What's wrong with you, man? I don't even understand.
I hated the back and forth between Tom Holland and Mark.
I liked it. Really?
What's that on your face? It's called pubic hair, boy.
Puberty's right around the corner. Yeah. So but also it's like, you know, he's in the bartender, he's shaking. Ain't you young to be a bartender?
You're going to leave me here. Are you a little old for prom?
Yeah. I've seen this trailer
every film I've been to in the last fucking 6 months, and I'm over it.
Man, even Antonio Banderas is in it, so that's kind of cool.
Jeez, he could end up being the bad guy.
Oh, probably. Look, you know the story. You know the story.
No. I don't know if it's based on any. I haven't played the first. I played Uncharted 4.
Okay. I mean, look, I think Tom. I'm sort of more interested.
No one lifts up
a
fucking ship, two ships. Carries them away in a fucking...
Oh, that part with the helicopters. Oh, that was cool. I thought that was cool. Oh, man.
So bad.
I don't even know when you stop liking movies, motherfucker.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Suck some dicks.
Have my pity.
Everyone, I'm going to see the shit out of this film. Word to Big Bird.
Apparently we both will.
All right.
Here's a film I'd love Wayne to see the shit out of. Don't know whether he will.
Word.
My number 7 is The Northman by Robert Eggers, the guy who directed The Vavitch and one of my top 10 films 2 years ago, The Witch, but has it in old-timey language. Okay. The Lighthouse, which was excellent.
Ah, now I have seen, I think, a poster for this, The Northman. Tell me what it's about, please.
It's got Alexander Skarsgård starring as the titular Northman, I think. Anyway, a young Viking prince embarks on a quest to avenge his father's murder.
Okay.
This guy's renowned for authenticity in terms of what he brings to a production of a film. So if he wants to do a film about, you know, witches in the 1700s, then he's asking everyone to speak in that same language, that
director,
era.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he's doing a film about 1910s or 1920s, wherever it was, Lighthouse, which is cursed and whatever, then he's getting everyone to be as authentic to the time as possible. And so that's what he's going to bring to this particular role as well. It also stars Anya Taylor-Joy, so I think that would be...
Oh, hello.
Sorry, Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yep.
Nicole Kidman as his mom.
I don't know why everyone hates Nicole Kidman. I think she's good.
Yeah. Bjork.
I'm less fond of Bjork. Yeah.
Willem Dafoe.
Okay.
So
that's quite a cast.
Got quite the cast, and because this guy demands respect, I think this is only his third feature film, and people are flocking to be it. And his first two were arguably both horror films. This one, clearly less a horror film and more a period piece drama slash. I think there's some action. Certainly, some bloodthirsty letting in the, which is probably what I got to hear in the trailer. I'm like, I am in. After Lighthouse, I'm so in. My number 7, The Northman.
Very nice. Okay. Well, line number six is probably not a surprise to many people, but it's Thor Love and Thunder. Now,
Lou.
Okay, so. All right, so this is essentially, I guess, the Guardians of the Galaxy, the next one, kind of, because you've got.
No, Guardians of the Galaxy, next one's called Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Well, this has got fucking Dave Bautista and Karen Gillan, and.
Well,
then,
clearly
like,
they're in it for a bit.
Oh, okay. You got Chris Pratt as well, and Tessa Thompson, Natalie Portman. So, yes,
yeah,
I
think Tessa Thompson's more important, Christian Bale's more important, Natalie Portman's more important.
Now, I've not
Tiger
seen...
Tiger Waititi, more important.
I don't think I've actually seen... There's a few down here that I've avoided the trailers for. Like
there is no trailer for this one yet.
Yeah, so I've not seen this one anyway. So, but I'm more interested in seeing what they're going to do, because the last Thor was Ragnarok, and I adored it. I saw it twice at the movies. It was fantastic. Everything they did about it, great. Taika Waititi was an up-and-comer at the
last
time.
Thor was Endgame.
You're right. But the last Thor movie, Thor I guess. Movie, sure. Yeah. And
directed by Taika Waititi, yeah.
Right, and I thought, wow, they're going, this is a comedy, and now Marvel's doing a comedy, and that's fantastic. Now, my intrigue is, that was a while ago. That was a long time ago. The world has moved on, the world
has
changed.
Well, a lot has changed in Thor's life,
exactly.
In particular.
So now, what's Taika going to do?
He did take off with Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So you've got to have those people in there, right? And then where does he go? And then how does Natalie Portman come back in? And yada, yada, yada.
Even Lady Sif's back in this one, too.
Yes. Is she? Hmm. Huh. Oh, because she's the only one left. All the others are dead.
Yes, there were some.
Chuck is dead. Yeah. So anyway, okay. All right. So yeah. So I want to see what's going on with this one here. I mean, it's just Taika Waititi.
I
right?
think exactly. Taika Waititi. Clearly, this is Chris Hemsworth. He will, much like Hugh Jackman, will forever be Wolverine. He will forever be Thor.
Absolutely.
This is his character. This is his legacy. He does it very, very well, particularly under Taika Waititi. That's what I see more of. Jeff Goldblum's even enlisted back in the cast. He is
what?
The Grandmaster as well. They bring back.
He was the almost the best thing about the last one.
Bring back Korg. Bring back all of these the elements which really made Ragnarok work, and we're mapping it onto a post world. This is the Marvel property I have the most interest in.
Is that so?
Moving forward.
Wow.
Which is a far cry from Thor: The Dark Fucking World.
Thor, that you know the Thor. This is the interesting thing. Natalie Portman apparently bailed on.
Oh, she said, "I'll never do another Marvel film."
Yeah, and I think the big reason is that she was going to get a female director for either Thor: Love and Thunder or whichever one she bailed out of. She was
in Dark World.
She was in Dark World, and it was supposed to be given to another director. Like
was that one meant to be?
Yeah, but it didn't. Oh, and it ended up being a piece of shit, yep. Right? Yeah, so it was going to be a female director that was going to take it, right? And so that's why she was all pissed off with the franchise. But of course, they got her back for a bit for fucking.
No, apparently that was all reused footage.
I heard it was shot. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck.
Well, nevertheless, she's definitely back now.
Yeah, so she's up in now. So I just want to see what they do with it, what he does with it, exactly. Because he's. Definitely proven his mettle.
Wow. Okay. So you've had two of my top four gone. What the fuck do you have up so high? All right. My number six. Mm-hmm. I have to imagine this is on your list. It's Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That look. Just as a case of, I'm the guy who loved Doctor Strange the first movie.
We like Doctor Strange.
We both
a lot.
Like. Yeah, you liked it too. Okay. So we. And I actually thought that was. I wouldn't say. I think it's the top 10 Marvel films. I actually love it a lot. Right?
I know that would put us against the odds or the majority of people. It's right around there. It's low top
tens or
high teens.
Yeah, but if you put like in terms of like, there's only been one Doctor Strange film. I loved it.
We got to do that, don't we? We're going to do a special episode of the show.
Just the top 10 Marvel films?
Not top 10. I just rank the entire Marvel series.
That's good.
Maybe we'll wait for Multiverse Madness to come out. There'll be 27 films. We just go 27 to 1.
Yeah, okay.
And argue about it.
Yeah, yeah, let's do that. All right, cool. Stay tuned for that, geeks like us.
Yep.
Okay. But yes, this the actual character itself is so pervasive. Like, he's in Spider-Man. He's in, you know, all in Avengers. But, you know, it's I wish he turned up in WandaVision like they had planned for him to. But he didn't.
Well,
so,
those who have seen the trailer. So, spoilers here. If you want to try and remain completely in the dark about Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Yeah, if you stayed through the end of Spider-Man, then you know this part. I'm only mentioning what's in the trailer, okay? Mm. So, obviously.
We don't know anything. So, yeah.
Here it is. Spoilers, 3, 2, 1. Wanda is a prominent part of this particular film.
Exactly. So clearly they got together, and that itself is, because, you know, we were pretty harsh on the old WandaVision, but the truth is, WandaVision was a good idea. It just played its first hand way too long with all these, like, old TV shows. I think it's actually a quite heartfelt film. TV show.
I'm quite keen to see Chiwetel Ejiofor's Baron Mordo back.
Well, he's the asshole who took the fucking Benjamin Bratt's fucking walking ability away.
I'm glad they followed up
malevolent
with
yeah.
that and... yeah, well, we knew he was going to be the bad guy moving to the next film, and they are. And the other thing that really excites me about this film is Sam Raimi back in the director's chair.
I forgot about that.
Sam Raimi, of course, one of my favorite indie directors for the Evil Dead series.
You could argue started big, the superhero thing.
Well, yeah, made it big with the Spider-Man trilogy with Tobey Maguire in the early 2000s, and maybe brought this whole thing back. Without that trilogy, without Sony's trilogy there, maybe we don't get the MCU as it now exists.
Yeah.
So, in at least in this particular universe. Oh. So, I think he's a great choice to follow on from Scott Derrickson, who I think did a wonderful job visually with the original Doctor Strange film.
I wonder why he's not.
Yeah, creative differences, I believe.
Is that so? Okay.
So, whatever he wanted to do, they weren't going to let him do.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he knew he could get other gigs. And so he said, well, fuck it, then I'm off. But you want to give up 10% of a budget, which is apparently standard rate for a director.
Really?
For a film.
For Marvel film.
Uh-huh. You have to assume this is a $150 million film. So you just got $15 million for his integrity. You got to admire that.
You do have to admire that. You really do.
But Sam Raimi, a more experienced director than, of course, Scott Derrickson. So, yeah, I'm interested in this sensibility. And obviously, we don't want Spider-Man 3. We want Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2. Kind of sense, but without being too goofy and whatever, there's room in the MCU for goofiness. I'm not sure Doctor Strange is the right.
Agreed.
Yeah,
that's more, it's a very somber Thor, kind
more
of
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes. So that's why it's interesting to see what happens.
Again, that's why I'm anticipating. Like, has Sam Raimi mellowed? Has he matured in a sense? Not to have a go at him. He's a Richard.
It's been a
God.
While since we've seen him, right?
Yeah, I can't remember last time we
directed. So
he produces a lot of movies. A lot of Ghost House Pictures. I think his production company is called. Most of them are ass, to be honest. So, yeah.
Him doing Spider-Man the way he did it at the time makes him an actual, like, he's a proper director.
Watch those movies. They set the mold. I rewatched them all with my family, except the three I was in and out of because that's a piece of shit film.
Yeah.
But while I watched, I finally got to rewatch Spider-Man 2. I think I said on the podcast I would do it one day. Mm. I still don't like it as much as Spider-Man. I'm sorry. It just doesn't
Doc Ock.
Do it for me. There's too much bullshit between Peter and Mary Jane to elevate that film.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah. I see it. It's different for everyone.
As far as how it's filmed and how it looks at the time, incredible. Incredible. Yeah. So I'm really hopeful what Sam Raimi can bring to the table here.
Nailed it. All right. Nice one. My number five is, well, you're just going to see a little superhero shit now, okay, people? Because I do want to see it. The Flash. The Flash.
Not on my list.
Now, The Flash. Now, look, this is pure intrigue, people, because I ain't seen shit about it. I only heard shit about it. But according to my intel right here, the cast list goes like this. Ezra Miller, sure. But also, Ben Affleck, okay?
Michael Keaton?
Yes! Yep. Michael Keaton, Sasha Kelly, Billy Crudup, okay? So now we've got...
Is that Billy Crudup from Watchmen?
Yeah, because he's the Flash's dad in this current DC.
So not, what's the big dick dude? Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, Dr. Manhattan, yeah. It's not his cock, so yeah. Or at least I don't think his cock gets out here. But...
We can hope.
Okay, so... Yo, I think multiverses are all the rage in 2022. You know, I think you've got this...
Won't be the last time we've heard about it.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Oh, yeah. But what I want to do is see, I think it's supposed to be the Flashpoint paradox, which is like a thing, which I've not read.
Right. But wasn't that what reset the comics into the new 52?
More or less. It's sort of, yeah.
I'm talking about shit I don't know anything about.
No. I stopped reading the new 52, so there you go. But
did it transition out of the new 52 into the next?
Something like that. Right. So, but it basically introduced their multiverse. Now, because DC had a multiverse before Marvel did, big time.
That's off.
So, now, the idea that they brought home Michael Keaton into this, right, which they've alluded to in that little trailer, which I did see, is probably the best thing ever. Like, in terms of, okay, let's just see what they do with that. Because it doesn't have to fit everything together, but how do they make it work? Mm. And I'm seeing two Batmans now, all right, and possibly a third. So, that's the best thing about this idea here. Like, I want to see what they do. The Flash, I couldn't give a fuck about. I mean, the actual Flash himself can eat my butt.
Irony.
Yeah.
The name film of a character, fifth best, most anticipated film on Wayne's list, couldn't give a fuck about that character.
Well, because, like, look, I don't mind Ezra Miller's work on it in terms of, like, how he, you know, but it's like this young kid kind of thing.
It's like rain on your wedding, yes.
All right, yeah. So The Flash is my number five.
My number five is absolutely not going to be on your list, Wayne.
Let's hear it.
It is a remake, sort of, because I think they just did a miniseries on this from memory of Stephen King's, one of his seminal...
Stephen King's
Salem's Lot.
Oh, really? Which one did I see? I saw Pet Sematary. I didn't see...
Yeah, okay. You saw Pet Sematary. This is one of my absolute favorite novels of all time.
What's it about?
It's basically about an author who returns to his childhood home of Jerusalem's Lot.
Okay.
And he's looking for his inspiration for his next novel, but what he comes across is a vampire population is a little bit COVID-y, has taken seed, and is starting to take over the entire town.
Oh, really?
And it's fan-fucking-tastic. One of the scariest novels I've ever read as a young person.
Wow.
And so inspiring, this idea of they're largely small town, middle of nowhere, a little bit like there's less vampires than humans as time wears on. Sorry, the other way around, less humans than vampires. And how the surviving humans start to like, Jesus, we have to fight. We have to acknowledge this is real. We have to do something about this.
Wow.
And it sets up a great, in pure Stephen King style, sets up a great eclectic group of characters who eventually come together and most of them don't make it.
Of course, and for Paul Lane.
Yeah.
Okay, of course you'll like that one. Fair enough.
So this one is directed by Gary Dauberman, who has a very spotty record, which is why it's down here. But some of the, no one huge in it. Lewis Pullman plays the main character, Ben Mears. Spencer Treat Clark, William Sadler, Alfre Woodard. So, yeah, look, the cast is a big deal, but the source material is, and that's what gets it here at number five.
Number five, okay. Well, my number four, this is going to be snappy now, folks, because my number four is Doctor Strange.
Okay, not too bad. My number four is Bullet Train.
Bullet Train!
How I had it, because the co-director of John Wick with a storyline like that, instant gratification.
The more now that we talked about it more, I kind of want to see it even more.
Cool.
So fair enough. My number three is got to be up in Paul's, like, somewhere high. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, come on.
I am going to totally enjoy fucking stealing your number one Thunder 2.
Okay, so that's
three.
Yeah, man, three. Okay, because there's a couple more.
There's one I know totally would be higher, and that's fair enough. Yeah, fair enough, but absolutely
you'll see.
But number two, whatever your number two is wrong.
Oh, man.
Is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse not the greatest animated film of all time?
Yeah, it is.
And yet three.
Because I don't... You're the animated film guy, man. I'm like, okay, but it ain't a real movie.
Three!
So, you know, don't get me wrong. It's one of the best things I've ever seen the first
time. Listen, snot, those little shit. I was taking shrapnel face on while you were grabbing it in your hands and rubbing it on your face.
No. I'll tell you something else, Paul. I ain't never seen a damn trailer for this shit.
Well, of course you haven't. It doesn't come out until October.
No, isn't there a trailer?
No.
There's something on the line.
No, there was something about the first 2 minutes they're showing people.
Yeah.
I just went,
I'm not watching,
not
that,
watching
shit.
That shit. I'm going to try and not watch anything about this film.
Me too. And it's going to be weird. So I don't even know what it's about, son. I mean, you got Shumit
Moore. Well, there'll be a multiverse.
Thank you. Hailee Steinfeld, Oscar Isaac, Issa Rae. I don't know the director, Joaquin Dos Santos. Is he the same guy?
Actually, there's multiple directors and Justin K. Thompson, and then it says dot 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 here, and I can't see the rest of them. So
okay, wait, there's multiple directors, of course.
And then Kemp Powers is the third director, so three directors. They had multiple directors in the last film as well. Phil Lord and Miller are producers. Yes, David, we hear you. They didn't write nor direct this, but they have produced it. Actually,
maybe.
No, I take that back. They both wrote it. So yeah, Phil Lord, Chris Miller are both the writers, and Dave Callahan are the writers on this film.
Is it? Maybe because it's a multiverse. Each director is taking a verse. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they work it that way. I don't know. So, but
well, Oscar Isaac means we've got Spider-Man 2099's voice here as well.
Oh, yes. I remember.
That's
yes.
cool. You know, the pointing thing at the end of the first one.
Oh, yeah. Man, I got to watch that thing again.
I'm so excited.
I got to watch that thing again.
I could not be. Like, you take your best of any genre. Any genre. This is my favorite romantic comedy. If they went, number two, you'll be like, I have to see this film. Have to.
What do you mean? Like, number two.
If it was your favorite action of all time and they're doing a sequel, you have to. You would be like, oh.
Oh, yeah, totally, totally.
So
this,
for me, is the best animated film. Arguably, it's the best superhero film virtually of all time.
Some people say that. I just can't get there with animated is just too much easier to do than a live action. So it's
top
not
10 superhero films of all time. I don't think we've ever done that.
Really? It sounds like
something we have.
I'm sure we have.
Or if we have, we tend to revisit it after this film.
Cool. All right. Deal with that. Nice. But I mean, as a guy who knows nothing about it, all I can bank off is my own excitement based on the first one.
Into the Spider-Verse. Yeah. Which is just incredible.
Yeah. So
there are very few films I remember, right? And I remember literally sitting there, and it was gold class cinema.
Mm.
It was very sparsely popular. There might have been four other people in there.
Yeah.
Because who knew about this fucking animated Spider-Man film? We decided we were going to do it. I went to this gold class cinema, got my popcorn, got my food, got my fucking sundae. I'm watching this film. And 20 minutes in, apart from the fact I wasn't sure where it was shuttering,
I know, because of the frame rate.
Yep.
The frame rate is what it's I like about to be, it.
Meant to be.
Some people don't like it. Some people don't like it.
I was like, this film's fucking phenomenal.
Oh, it's amazing, bro. Yeah, even the trailer so got me there anyway.
The voice acting is so good. Mm-hmm. And then when the storyline unfolded, I'm like, it's entertaining from start to finish. This is a film which does not have a wasted scene. Does not have a wasted moment in this movie. It is economy filmmaking, which should be held up as the way to make a film. To not draw it out and be over fucking exaggerated in terms of any scene. You don't, it is phenomenal. And that's why this is where it is for me.
First of all, do you like the frame rate? Do you think?
Well, I got used to it, but initially I was like, is there something wrong with the projector?
Yeah. And that's why it was cool though, because it was so daring and made so many calls that actually paid off. So yeah, I love this.
Look, this can't be as good as the original. It just can't, because again, we've seen it's introduced us to
Let's set ourselves up for
everyone. Arguably, like Avatar 2, it can't be as good as the original in terms of how it looks.
Okay, so this is a good moment. Everyone, don't expect this to be as good as the first one, and you'll probably have a better time. I have a weird crush on Shubhi Bora. I'm not sure why.
Sure. Good looking fella.
Yeah. So, you know, there you go. All right then. That's me. What's your number three?
My number three is Thor, Love and Thunder.
Thor. Okay. Yeah. Nice. Now my number fucking hell, what number is this?
So that was brilliant. You corrected my slight mispronunciation of Thor. And then went, what about Thor?
Well, my number two shouldn't be a surprise to you, Paul. It's Top Gun. It's Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, my God.
Of course. Why? You're not looking forward to this? Let me tell you something,
didn't
Paul.
Didn't even factor in my consideration.
Are you shitting me for Christmas? When I was a kid and saw the first Top Gun and saw it twice in the cinemas, even though I was 15 or some shit.
What? You're 11.
11? 11 or some shit. All right? And saw that you're supposed to stick your tongue in a woman's mouth. I didn't know that. That was Take My Ass Away. That song. All right? That fucking scene.
Take it back!
Top Gun itself is part of my childhood. There's no way it's not, okay? Tom Cruise is part of my childhood. No way it's not. It's part of my adulthood. Word to Big Bird. So I...
Of course it's on your list. Yeah,
of course it's on my list. Also, I mean, look, Jennifer Connelly and John Hamm, Val Kilmer is in it.
It's Jennifer Connelly in this
movie. Jennifer Connelly, she's a love interest because Kelly McGillis got fat.
No. Oh, in this version?
Yeah, in this version.
I thought it meant the original.
No, the first one. Miles Teller, okay. I don't know who Monica Barbaro is, but I'm interested, given Val Kilmer's current condition, how he figures into this. And apparently Tom Cruise fought for him to be in it, right?
Well, that's nice.
Oh, it's great. But like, what do they do? Because this is going to be very creative now for you to do this shit. And I don't even know if Miles Teller is supposed to be the young new buck.
I think he is.
Okay. And then maybe Tom Cruise is like maybe it's like Colors, that movie where
Tom Cruise is now Tom Skerritt.
Yes, he would have to be.
Yep.
Yeah, and that would make it interesting because remember in Colors where Sean Penn was like the buck and then Robert Duvall dies and then he fucking, at the end of the movie, he's the guy who's the hardened professional who doesn't...
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers.
For a film that's 30 years old.
Yeah, but yeah, I think that's what this is going to be. But then again, there's an F-14 in this. We talked about this. There's an F-14 in the film and we don't use those planes anymore, but I think they're beautiful, so we got to see this. Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, it's directed by the guy who directed Tron Legacy and Oblivion. And
Joseph Kosinski.
Kosinski?
Oh, Oblivion. I liked Oblivion.
Both. Did you not like Tron Legacy?
I liked Oblivion more, but Tron Legacy was good, yes.
Okay, whatever drugs Wayne's smoking today are very strong.
I know.
But both are visually astounding films. Okay, yeah, sure. The special effects on Jeff...
Goldblum. Oh, no, Jeff Daniel? Bridges.
Bridges. Goldblum. What the fuck are we talking about? Yeah, on Jeff Bridges is not great, but that's not his fault. But everything else in that film is stunning visually. Oblivion is stunning visually. So I have hope for... these IMAX shot aerial
and it's
scenes.
Been in the can for fucking 2 years or whatever.
Yeah,
man.
It's been like, around for a long time. But the problem is, and maybe I fall into this trap too, so I'm not having a go at anyone who has thought this. They've had so long to perfect it. They don't give any extra budget to perfect things.
No, dude. Once it's in the can, it's in the can. They just hang on it. They're not going to sit there going, you know, let's do a whole bunch of reshoots. No. So, especially in COVID.
All right. Well, Wayne stole a lot of my thunder today. My number two. Most anticipated film of 2022, despite the runtime, is Wayne's number one. It is The Batman.
The Batman, baby. Yes. All right. So, I mean, no prizes for guessing this one. Matt Reeves, Paul.
Yeah, that's what interests me. Not Robert Pattinson, not anything else about it, but Matt Reeves.
Not Robert Pattinson? You're not interested in his take on it?
I think it'll be fine. Actor. I'm not downing him because he's in the Twilight films, even though I hate that series of films
I've seen like one.
More than anything I can possibly imagine in a entertainment medium. But
he's Daniel Craig. That's Daniel Craig. He's the Harry. Him and Harry Potter. What's his name?
Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe. They started in a fucking thing a franchise that was okay. it was what it was. It was just really popular. And then they parlayed it into a real career.
Got no problem with, as I said, with Robert Pattinson being Batman. Mm. Like, I'm not... But what I'm excited about is Matt Reeves and what he brings to this table. Mm.
So the word on the street, and here's another one I've avoided all the trailers for.
I have
except
watched
the first one. Except the first one. I saw that one.
I unfortunately was at the cinema the other night and it was on. I'm like, I can walk out or I can just watch it.
You know, in the end, hopefully he's got some control over it. But the whole deal with this one supposedly being like a noir thriller, that's what the word on the street is, that it's like, supposed to be like couched-like. And even though actually the one trailer I saw where there's the Riddler who's in a coffee shop and then the police descend on it and, you know, whatever. All that kind of shit looks fucking sweet. Now, we've done Dark Batman before. In fact, ever since 89.
He's the definitive Batman.
Right. So what are you going to do with this to make it a different spin or a slant?
Arguably, it could have dropped lower, if I'm really honest. Hmm. But I was very impressed with the last trailer I saw. But the fact that it is PG-13, and they were never going to release an R-rated American Batman. They weren't going to stymie the box office in that way. So.
Isn't Inception PG-13?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can do it. All right, you can do that fine. I don't have a problem with that.
I'm pretty sure Dark Knight's PG-13.
I think it is, actually, yes.
So that's the level that we're looking at here.
Right,
I think.
And it's big shoes to fill.
Exactly. Could this be anywhere near the standard of The Dark Knight? I'm intrigued to find out, hence why it's most anticipated. I'm not expecting it. Right?
No,
I don't
I'm
think
not
it
either.
Can be as good as that. I just
no,
don't.
It can't. And you know what? The only thing it's got in its favor is this is a different time now. So maybe if this movie achieves definitely entertaining me, but also just satisfying my curiosity and it's like, okay, the decisions you've made worked. That's all I need from this movie. Okay? If you've decided to go one way and it actually pulls off, that's good. That's done. Well done. And that's all you need.
Well, we talked about the runtime. I think in our last
three
review,
3 hours. Is that what
near
it
on 3 hours? I think it's 2:47, and that I can't tell whether that's with or without credits.
I think it's with credits.
So okay, so 2:37 in terms of moving time.
That's fine.
People take it's not.
It's fine.
It's too long. We just got through saying how long Nightmare Alley was.
Yeah, but Nightmare Alley is this has got to be better than Nightmare Alley. How's that?
But like the fact that we've got Catwoman, the Riddler, and the Penguin all in this movie.
Now look, I don't agree with that shit. I would rather it was one cunt he was fighting and it became this like this sort of like really meaningful.
Well, that's the only way it can justify being that long. You can't have one villain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's got a lot of ground to cover here. We're clearly re-establishing it. And I know we're probably going to see the whole fucking pearls and shooting and whatever else again.
Look, there's a good point. If I don't see his origin story, that is going to be a massive, like that's worth 20 points. If you don't show me that again.
Well, they're going to, right? For a film this long, surely.
No. I mean, Spider-Man didn't do it. Not that it was that long. But like the Tom Holland Spider-Man didn't show him getting bit, right? They only talk about it, referenced it recently. So good, because everyone fucking knows. Batman is everyone knows.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you've never seen the actual spider that Tom Holland got bit.
It was already Spider-Man Civil War.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you are. So that's what I want from this. Just don't show us the fucking alley again, okay? Dead. That'll win. It'll almost win if no one has to be better than that. Okay. Yeah. So there you are. The Batman. Yes, definitely.
All right. Well, that's Wayne's number one.
Yes, definitely. And you're number
two. Just give us your 10 through one then, Wayne. And just to wrap it up for the listeners, what we are most anticipating in 2022.
10 was Bullet Train. 9 was The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. 8, The Lost City. 7, Uncharted Word. 6, Thor Love and Thunder.
Thank God it came back after those two.
5 was The Flash. 4 was the Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness. 3, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Part 1 apparently. 2, Top Gun Maverick. And number 1 was The Batman. Paul.
All right. Again, no surprises. My number 1, I think we've worked it out. My number 10, Nope, from Jordan Peele. 9, Avatar 2. 8, Killers of the Flower Moon. 7, The Northman. 6, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. 5, Salem's Lot. 4, Bullet Train. 3, Thor, : Love and Thunder. 2, The Batman. And my number 1, Spider-Man, : Across the Spider-Verse, bracket, part 1, close bracket.
Look, it's already bad enough that Uncharted is not in your list, so.
Didn't even get a fucking thought on my
what?
List.
What? That looked great.
What a piece of shit.
I'm going to see this shit.
I shouldn't say piece of shit. I'm open to it being great.
You're
I hope
not.
I'm
no,
wrong.
No, you're not. You've
I hope I'm wrong. Fuck you.
Yeah, we'll
fuck
see, mother- you. We'll see, motherfucker.
No more to say about Spider-Man. Look, it's hard to talk. We've done a good job, given we had no recount, and we have talked for a fair amount about these.
Full of crap, I think you'll find.
Any else in your honorable mentions, Wayne?
No, I fucking we covered them all.
My only other one is Aquaman 2. I like the first Aquaman. James Wan does it for me most of the time.
He's a homeboy. I'll watch this.
I am keen to see what he can produce for the sequel and hopefully can live up to that. A billion-dollar film maybe even do a little bit better.
Why not?
All right, that's our list. What about yours? We wrap up every episode of the Countdown segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about...
talk about? Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with Nicole Presley, who said number 3, Scream. Huge fan of the series and the genre. So we've seen that already. Mm-hmm. Our review is out there, but maybe Nicole hasn't had a chance yet. Oh, my God.
What?
You can't handle the truth.
Number 2, Uncharted. Not going to lie.
Damn right, Nick.
I was slightly disappointed with the casting because I thought, though I liked Tom, I didn't like the character being so young.
Understandable. Me too.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. I'm still looking forward to it because the trailer was decent. I love the game. Okay, well, you love the game. That's the explanation there. Well done,
Nicole. Fuck off, Paul. It's a valid choice regardless.
Number 1, this is a valid choice, and it should have been on my own mentions. Don't Worry, Darling. Obsessed with a good period piece psychological thriller. It's the one directed by Olivia Wilde and starring her new beau, Harry Styles.
Damn.
Okay, over to Francis Booker, who said, Embracing the Colons. Number 3, Minions, colon, The Rise of Gru. Number 2, Black Panther, colon, Wakanda Forever.
I know what's going on
number
here.
Number 1, colon, no, sorry, no, Thor, colon, Love and Thunder.
Eat my colon, asshole.
Eat your colon and asshole?
And asshole, yeah. Asshole first, though.
Okay, good. Be a bit weird.
Yeah, get to the asshole, yeah.
Yeah. Jonathan Slander said number 3, The Batman, because I want to see a truly gritty marathon length movie this time. Well, there you are. You will get that. Number 2, Across the Spider-Verse, to watch with my son. Number 1, Bullet Train. Brad Pitt says he beats Aaron Taylor Johnson as assassin stuck on a train in Japan. Looks interesting to say the least.
Who the hell is Zazie Beetz?
She was in Deadpool 2. She was.
Oh, now I know the one.
And also in Joker.
Yes.
Darren Clark, we gave him credit at the start for warning us about Mission Impossible 7. So Avatar 2, The Batman, and Top Gun Maverick all the way.
What is up? See, everyone's fine.
Jamie Davies said, number 3, nope. Excited to see what this new Jordan Peele flick is all about. Number 2, Across the Spider-Verse. Can it live up to the arguable the best animated film, feature film of all time? Not arguable. It is. It is what it is. And number 1, The Northman, Robert Eggers, hasn't let me down yet. And it's got Bjork in it playing a Cirrus. Can't wait. Wayne did not reply there or comment because you mentioned Bjork.
That's right. It's also quiet. Bitch, please. I think that was fucking classy.
I walked into that one.
That
well
was
done.
Classy as well.
Well done. Well played, sir. Adam Cracknell said, number 3, Lightyear. Very interested to see how this one goes. You heard that one?
Which one?
Lightyear is...
Oh, Buzz Lightyear. I saw that and it is interesting, intriguing.
I thought the trailer was really shit.
Did you? Yeah. I thought the idea that they're treating it seriously is something.
As in, like, this toy was based off a real person and we're showing the real person's adventure. That's interesting.
Is that what they're doing? Because fine. I'll probably eventually see it.
He will for the show. Number 2, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. In the Multiverse of Madness. From the various rumors of who might show up and Sam Raimi's return to the Marvel Universe, what's not to be excited about? Well said. And number 1, The Batman. Really hoping our Pats can pull it off.
Me too.
Definitely has the acting chops to do so. Josh Ragland, the creator of the Countdown movie Scavenger Hunt on Letterboxd, said number 3, Lightyear. Love Toy Story franchise. Hope this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, one I expected to see on your list, Lane. Knives Out 2.
I watched Knives Out again, and it is a great looking film to watch, and it is quite nice, but I called the bad guy. And I never
the second
the
time around?
No, the first time. Fuck you, asshole. The first time, I'm like, it looks like he's the bad guy. Sure he is. And then he is.
Okay. The first was very cool, and I'm really interested to see how this one will work out. And number 1, again, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I hope this is half the movie the first one was. If it is, it will be phenomenal.
That's got to be the choice, right?
I think so. John Amenta from the Pioneer Comics podcast. They're going to be on next week.
Yeah.
To do for episode 357, the top 10 80s comedies. So John and Lloyd will be on for that show. So there you are. That's your heads up on that one. Number 3, Thor, colon, Love and Thunder. I loved Ragnarok, so I'm psyched to see Waititi going at it again.
Waititi
going at it again. Number 2, this one made me laugh. Jackass Forever.
Oh, God. Have you seen the trailer?
I've seen it 53.
I know. It's all they fucking
every
play.
Every time into the cinema in the last fucking month, i.e. like 7 times, it's been on. The first 3 are some of my favorite theater experiences ever. And I'm an unabashed fan of the show. John, we're going to take this up next week, my son. Holy shit. Number 1, The Batman. Looks great. Interested in a new take on the mythos.
There you go.
Philip Manning said, number 3, nope. Number 2, The Northman. Number 1, The Batman. So, Batman and again, Across the Spider-Verse.
Good.
Maybe first time contributor to the show, Joel Zabara said, number 3, Death on the Nile. Interesting.
Hey, we didn't care for Murder on the Orient Express.
Not much, no.
But this one is getting a lot of play. Maybe it's because there's no other movies to promote.
Yeah,
but, you
possibly.
Know,
yeah. Oh, we'll find out. Number 2, The Batman. Number 1, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Hmm.
Smiley Samani, mate to the show, said, number 3, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
What up?
Nicolas Cage praying a broke. Nicolas Cage accepts a $1 million offer to attend a wealthy fan's birthday party. Things will go sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
What's that?
Heard this one? Michelle Yeoh is an aging Chinese immigrant swept up in an insane adventure where she alone can save the world by exploring other universes, connecting with the lives she could have had. That sounds really good.
That does sound interesting. Yeah, okay.
Number one, Big Bug. Suburbanites are locked in for their own protection by their household robots while an android revolt rages outside.
A little bit of commentary on that one.
That's interesting. Interesting indeed. And then last one to wrap it up from Matt Evans. Number three, Salem's Lot. Finally a feature film. Number two, Jurassic World, Dominion. Always entertaining. Mm. Number one, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, set immediately after the original.
Who cares? So it's...
Or as Matt may well now be saying...
Bitch, please.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry, but I love that you love it. I hate it. We will find out whether we need to do that if we are not able to go to the cinemas.
I'm not doing that fucking show.
Doing it for Netflix about a month from now.
I'm watching that shit. All
right.
It's on Netflix, man.
I don't give a fuck.
All right. That is it for this week's episode of the Countdown Movie Interviews Podcast. Wayne, how do listeners get back to us with their feedback on, well, anything?
Google the Countdown Podcast and find our socials and send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. You can like and follow the show through Podbean and check out the Facebook community. As mentioned, link is in the show notes. And that is it for today's episode. We already told you that next week. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode today. We hope you found something to be excited about in the way that we have.
Damn right.
My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
This is the dumbest shit anyone ever said in the history of, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here,
The Time. Lost City.
It's a perfectly fine choice.
We'll catch you next week. See ya.